Our scripture reading tonight comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to be beginning with verse 5 and reading through verse 33. In the first few verses of Matthew 10, Jesus tells us how Jesus sent out his disciples, and it gives the names of those disciples. And then in verse 5, we pick it up with these words. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, these are your words to your disciples. And we pray, Lord, that these words will change us. So we ask that your Spirit, which you gave out to us, which you poured out on us, would teach us and would, if necessary, convict us and move us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that kids learn at a very early age is the kind of sounds that every animal makes. If you were anything like me, you probably had a Fisher-Price toy that was round, and it had the pictures of all the animals on the outside. Excuse me. And it had a big arrow in the middle that you were supposed to point to those animals. In fact, the arrow was so big it was sometimes hard to discern if you were actually pointing it at the animal that you wanted to. But when you got it pointed at the animal you wanted to, then you were supposed to pull the string on the side, and then it would tell you what kind of a sound that animal made. So if the arrow was pointed to a cow and you pulled the string, the Fisher-Price toy would say something like, "The cow says, mmm." So I learned at an early age what sound all the animals made, and I'm sure you probably did too, either through that Fisher-Price toy or by your parents teaching you or someone else teaching you. We all learned what sounds animals made. And if that's true of you, like it's true of me, then the message tonight, the title of the message tonight may not make a whole lot of sense to you, because the title of the message tonight is Roaring Lambs. Roaring Lambs. Now that's probably not the way you remember it. My Fisher-Price toy didn't teach it to me that way. When I pointed the arrow to the sheep or the lamb, it said something like, "The lamb says, bah." Lambs are supposed to bleat. Lambs aren't supposed to roar. But the lambs that we're referring to tonight, the lambs that are in the title of tonight's message, aren't the four-legged variety that we're familiar with. They're the two-legged variety. They're Jesus' lambs. They're us. And those lambs do roar. Roaring lambs. We're familiar with that picture, aren't we? Of being lambs. We're very familiar with the picture of us being lambs and Jesus being our good shepherd. There are lots of pictures that you can find of Jesus with a staff and little sheep around him. A picture of Psalm 23. We're familiar with that picture, that metaphor of us being Jesus' lambs and of him making us to lie down in green pastures and leading us beside still waters and restoring our souls. We're familiar with that picture. But sometimes we take the idea, the metaphor of us being Jesus' lambs into areas of our life where it doesn't belong. You see, that picture that God gives us in Psalm 23 and lots of other places of us being Jesus' lambs is meant to give us peace. It's meant to remind us that we don't have to worry about anything. That Jesus is our protector and our leader, and he takes us where he wants us to go. He gives us what we need to sustain ourselves, and so we don't need to worry about anything. That's what that message is supposed to tell us. That's what that picture is supposed to make clear to us, that we don't have to worry. But sometimes we take that metaphor of being lambs a bit too far, and I think we do that in two ways. Two ways that come out in our text this evening. First, we take the metaphor of being lambs too far when we become sedentary. We take the metaphor of being lambs too far, or we take it into an area of our life that it doesn't belong when it causes us to become sedentary, to not do very much. That is, we see our task in this world as to simply be and act like a lamb. To sit by the quiet waters and in the green pastures until the good shepherd leads us home. That's all we're called to do, is to simply act like lambs in every sense. Not only in that we're protected by the shepherd and led by the shepherd, but also that we just tend to hang around. We take the metaphor of being Jesus' lambs too far when it causes us to remain sedentary, not to move, because Jesus sends his lambs out among the wolves. He says in verse 16, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." So the good shepherd doesn't only protect his lambs, he doesn't only lead his lambs, he doesn't only provide for his lambs, he sends his lambs. And in his own words, the good shepherd tells us that he sends his lambs out among the wolves. He sends us there, out among the wolves. That's the idea that we've been talking about for several weeks. The idea of being sent. About being Christ's witnesses. Out in the world. About taking the stand and giving our testimony as to the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Not only for us, but for the whole world. He sends us out among the wolves. So when the metaphor of our being Jesus' lambs causes us to remain sedentary, when it causes us just to hang around and think that our job in all aspects of our life is to be like a lamb, then we take that metaphor into places, into places where it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong there. Jesus wants us to remember that we don't have to worry. He wants us to remember that we are his lambs and that he will take care of us. But he also sends us out as lambs among wolves. And there were definitely times, I can tell you, during our mission trip this past week that we felt like lambs among wolves. I know I did. Several times, I got the distinct feeling that I wasn't in the majority like we are here. I was standing with and talking with people, and sometimes lots of them, who didn't know Jesus. I felt like I was a sheep out amongst the wolves. But you know what that told us was that we were in the right place. If Jesus sends us out as sheep among the wolves, as lambs among the wolves, but we never feel like we're among the wolves, then we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not listening when he says, I'm sending you out. You. I'm sending out. We visited a lot of places where we felt as though we were lambs among the wolves. And it kept going through my mind, and several others mentioned the same thing. Could we have that same feeling anywhere in Holland? Or do you have to go to Toronto or to some other big city to feel like you are outnumbered? To feel as though you are a lamb among wolves? What do you think? Are there any places in Holland, are there any neighborhoods that you can think of where you would feel outnumbered? Where you would feel like you were at risk? Like you were a lamb among wolves? I think there are several. And there are several organizations who work in those areas who routinely ask for volunteers. They advertise for people who are willing to give a day a month or a day a year or a few hours a week to work with them and to be just for a while among the wolves as one of Jesus' lambs. There are places here in Holland too, not just in Toronto. And Jesus sends us out among them. But that leads us to the other area where we tend to be too much like sheep. Sometimes, even when we are willing to be sent, when we go and when we find ourselves among the wolves, we suddenly become dumb. And I don't mean like we don't know anything. I mean like we can't talk. We find ourselves among the wolves. We find ourselves in a situation where to speak the way we speak here is risky. And like magic, our mouths close. See, the world knows that we think of ourselves as Jesus' lambs, and they're more than willing to take that and make that part of our whole life and tell us that when we are among them, if we want to help feed them, that's fine. If we want to help house them, that's good too. But don't speak. Don't speak the name Jesus. Don't do that. And so we cower most of the time. We don't speak. Jesus sent his lambs out among the wolves, not to play the role of lamb out there, but to testify, as he says in our passage, to be his witness, to speak. You see, you can't be Jesus' lamb among the wolves unless the wolves know that you are his. You can't testify to your life in him unless people know that you have life in him. And we take the metaphor of being Jesus' lambs into an area of our life where it doesn't belong, when we cower and close our mouths around the wolves, because he sent us out with a message. He sent us out with the message that the kingdom of God is near. What does that mean? It means that the world is lost in sin, and God the Father, in his grace, is redeeming all who will call out on him in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we've been given and told to speak and show among the wolves, not to simply cower in the corner, afraid to let anybody know that you're a sheep, that you're a lamb, afraid to testify. It can be something as small as not wanting anybody to see you pray, or when you're having a conversation about the faith, when someone else walks up, to lower your voice so they can't hear what you're saying. We're afraid. Every single one of us is afraid. And we take the metaphor of being Jesus' lambs into a place it doesn't belong, when we're afraid of the wolves. Because Jesus said, don't be afraid of the wolves. Don't be afraid. Because your Father has your hairs numbered. Nothing can happen to you apart from the will of your Father. And your Father sends you out among the wolves. So don't be afraid. Don't bleat. I gave you a message. Roar. Now that doesn't mean that we have to yell all the time. We roar in many ways. We roar in our actions by being Christ-like and sacrificial and loving. And we also roar with our words by speaking the truth. But you don't have to yell to roar. Because I'll tell you one thing, when you're among the wolves and you speak the truth, no matter how soft your voice is, it comes out as a roar. Because when you speak the truth, no matter how soft it is, all the wolves will hear you. And they'll look. Because it's different. We are supposed to roar as his lambs, with his message, out among the wolves. That's where he sent us. And that's the message he gave us. In verse 27, he says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Don't be afraid of them. See, all those things that we do to roar, the loving actions and the words of truth, those are all things that wolves don't do. That's why they stand out so much. When was the last time you roared? When was the last time, first of all, that you felt as though you were a lamb among the wolves? When is the last time you felt that as far as your faith was concerned, you were outnumbered? Not talking about as far as your ethnicity is concerned or your color is concerned, but as far as the faith is concerned, when is the last time you felt outnumbered? And then when is the last time when you were in that situation that either in words or in actions you testified to the truth? That's what he calls us to do. In Toronto and in Holland or wherever. There's no reason for us to be afraid to speak, as Jesus told us. But he also told us very plainly what would happen if we didn't. He says in verse 32, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, in word or deed," I should say in word and deed, "I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men," that is, whoever shows by his or her words or actions what Peter said. Remember the night Jesus was arrested? "I don't know the man." Jesus says, whoever makes that their life, "I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Now, can you imagine the feeling of standing before God the Father with Jesus standing right next to him, and to have Jesus say, "Would you walk up? I'm sorry, Father. I don't know him. Put your name in place of him. I'm sorry, Father. I don't know John. Put your name there. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." That's heavy stuff. If God had a round Fisher-Price toy with all of our pictures around the outside, and he pointed that big arrow at you and pulled the string, what would the toy say? John says, bleat or roar. He calls us to be lambs among wolves and to roar. May he give us the strength and the willingness and the dedication and the perseverance to do just that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son so that we might be right with you. Father, may it not be that any of us should disown him. Fill us with your Spirit. Make us willing to open our lives up to you and to go and to speak and to act. In the name of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, amen.